If you happen to read Genesis 5 before service today, or if you're glaring at it right now, this might be one of those passages where we wrestle with the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture. That doctrine says that it's God-breathed, which means every word of Scripture is profitable for us. It's profitable for our salvation. It's profitable for our sanctification as we are molded to look more like Jesus. And then you're looking at Genesis 5, and you see the sermon today is going to cover a list of names. All right. Expectations are set. I'm going to read from Genesis 5, then we're going to pray one more time, and then we will dive into this list of names together. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he followed Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's pray. Father, we once again give you all of the glory and the praise for who you are, that you are King. You are righteous, that you are good, that you are just. We've confessed these things in our prayers, in our scripture reading, in our singing. Father, I pray that now that the truth of who you are and what you've done in Christ would sink deep into our hearts as we consider your word. Lord, we pray once again for our nation. Lord, would you alone can bring healing. And so as your people, we long for that. Most of all, we long for people in the United States to know the salvation you've done in Jesus, to respond in repentance and faith. So would you further that work through your church? Father, we pray for Samuel Bapuri as he is now in India and beginning the early stages of his ministry. I pray that you would give him strength. I pray that you would encourage his family, that they would be rooted in the local church, that they would continue to grow and foster relationships there. Lord, I pray that you would bear fruit from his work to train and counsel pastors and to serve his local church. Lord, would you recall him to our minds throughout the week that we might pray for him? And Lord, as we come now to the time where we hear from your word, humble us. Please give us ears to hear. Give us soft hearts to receive what you have for us from Genesis 5, to consider our own death and the hope of Jesus. Would you equip us? Would you strengthen us and encourage us? Do whatever work you see fit to do in us that we might leave here as brighter lights for your gospel. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, imagine with me that you and I are walking through a cemetery. And we're noting in each gravestone. We see the dates of their life. Some gravestones along the way have epitaphs engraved on the stone, which is a short line or phrase that summarizes something central about their life. So for some, we see a loving father and husband, a faithful worker. And as we walk by, we're considering all of the history, names we might recognize, plenty of names we do not. And yet each one represents a whole life full of significance that's brought us to today. And then on our walk, we come to your grave. What might be engraved on your headstone? Will it contain something related to your devotion to your work? Take Mel Blanks, for example. Mel was the voice of several Looney Tunes characters like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, and he's buried in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and his gravestone reads, "That's all, folks." Perhaps yours will contain something that you love. I remember a school project where we were to write our own epitaph, and my good friend wrote, "Don't leave flowers, just leave tacos." Or will your gravestone have something to do with your relationship to your God? William Carey, the faithful missionary to India, is buried in India with a gravestone that reads, "A wretched, poor, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall." Friends, what will yours say? What so defines your life that it will be engraved on your headstone? And maybe a better question for us to consider in Genesis 5 this morning is, what should be on the gravestone of a child of God? We come to this chapter right off the heels of last week we saw Cain's family tree. So it is as if we've just walked through the Cain family cemetery. And we've been reading the gravestones and we see names like his own Enoch, a city built after him. Or we see Lamech, whose gravestone talks about his two wives and his lust for vengeance. So we read, as we walk through Cain's family cemetery, we realize in the story this was really the serpent's family cemetery. The end of chapter 4, it's the children of the devil. But now we come to chapter 5, and Moses is going to walk us through another family cemetery, except this time, it's the promised line. It's the line through which God will bring the Messiah. So we're walking through now the cemetery of God's children. And Moses wants us to intentionally read the headstones so that first we realize the reality of death, including our own. But we also see hints of hope and the promise of life and the promise of rest for those whose trust is in God. And so as we walk through the cemetery of the promised line this morning, we ought to consider the fact that we too will face death. But if our headstone reads of our faith in our God, that is, if our life is so defined by faith in God's promises, death does not have the final say. So Moses begins in verse 1 with his usual heading. Look at me at verse 1. "This is the book of the generations of Adam." Now, this phrase is Moses signaling to us the next chapter in God's redemptive plan. We saw this in chapter 2. It's like Moses saying chapter 2. Now he's saying chapter 3. And yet, this step in God's redemptive plan sounds a lot like chapter 1. So look with me again at verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. Now, why retell us this only a couple chapters after we saw Genesis 1 and Genesis 2? Well, I think it's so that we all know God is not done with his project yet. God set out to do a work in his creation through people, and he is going to continue that work even after the fall. God had made mankind to reflect his glory, to rule over his creation, to spread that reflection over the world. He blessed them for that task. And now we're told he was the one to name Adam. He says, male and female, he created them, he blessed them, and named them man, which is the word Adam. The work that God is doing here in naming Adam, the way Moses depicts God here is like a father to Adam and to this line that follows. In fact, when Luke in the New Testament records another genealogy, he gets to Adam and he calls him a son of God. So Moses, right out of the gate in these verses, has brought us to the gate of the cemetery. And he's explaining to us who this place holds. It's like going to Arlington National Cemetery. Right? At the entrance are signs that read, "Our nation's most hallowed ground." And of course, all over the place is information explaining the site as a military cemetery honoring U.S. service members and their families. So Moses brings us to the gate and he says, this cemetery is for the children of God. It holds the line through which God is bringing his promises to pass, beginning with his first son, Adam. And so we step through with Moses and we look at the first headstone. Look at verse 3. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years. He had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Notice that the purpose and the design for which Adam was created is now passed down to his son, Seth, who's made in the likeness and image of Adam. So in this cemetery, each of these people had other sons and daughters, but only the ones through which God purposed to bring his promises lie here. So the first gravestone, the name we recognize is Adam's name. And then we recognize Seth's name from the end of the last chapter. He was the one appointed by God as a offspring or a seed in the place of Abel. But then we begin to walk through the cemetery and see all these unfamiliar names on headstones and then the dates of their life. Look at verse 6. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Enosh lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. He lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. And then, friends, we go from Kenan to Mahalalel. From Mahalalel, we go to Jared. And from Jared, we go to Enoch. And so we go name after name, son after son, until verse 20. Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Now, do you hear the refrains echoing from each generation in this cemetery? The first thing you might notice is, and he died, and he died, and he died. Every single tombstone has a birth date and a date. And as we walk through this cemetery with Moses, I think this is the point where we ought to start to feel the somberness of a graveyard. These are the promised ones. God is preserving the line, and yet they're not immune to death. The curse of sin still affects them all. And brothers and sisters, we should feel that weight. On the one hand, all of us will die. We have to face that reality. It's not a good thing, friends, to ignore that truth, to pretend like we will live on this earth forever. There ought to be a reality to the effects of the fall that lead to death. And then on top of that, even as believers, in God's good wisdom, he's carrying out his purposes, but he's doing so in the middle of a cursed world. And his people are not immune to the effects of that curse. Friends, the horrible events of this past week in our nation, maybe events in your own life, your own suffering, should grieve us. There is evil still in this world, and Christians should not be superficial about it. We should not feign happiness. We should be brokenhearted over the curse. We should feel the weight of sin and evil and death. But we should never lose hope. While the refrain of death in this chapter echoes throughout the graveyard, so does the refrain, and he had a son. And he had a son. And he had a son. Every son that God provides in this line, every gravestone is an indicator God is going to bring about his promises. God is faithful. He will send an offspring to crush the evil serpent's head and reverse the curse. And so we feel the weight, but it doesn't crush us because God is faithful. He's faithful every moment, every step of the way. And then we finally have a stone engraved with a description. Look at verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. First thing to notice on this gravestone is another familiar name, Enoch. When we walked through Cain's family cemetery last week, Cain had a son named Enoch. His headstone said something like, the origin behind the great city called Enoch. Cain, his father, had built a city, had established this kingdom. He named it for his son. Well, here we have another Enoch. But his gravestone reads, Enoch walked with God. This is how God's children who live by faith are described. Abraham walked with God. Moses walked with God. David walked with God. Enoch walked with God. That is, he lived by faith. He trusted God's promises. Friends, isn't it amazing that what Adam did freely in the garden before sin, walking with God, God now allows his children to do after the curse by faith. Enoch trusted his heavenly Father, and it was demonstrated in his life. What's wonderful about this gravestone is none of us know this guy. We don't know what his life looked like. None of us have seen his life. It's not recorded in the scriptures. We don't know what his accomplishments were. We don't know much about his family. The only thing left behind is the thing that matters. He walked with God. And that's all the legacy he needs. So brothers and sisters, will your epitaph be so-and-so walked with God? Men, are you walking with God? Apathy, brothers, is not walking. If you are coasting in your walk with the Lord, if it's just one more thing on your list, if it's maybe in your mind a good thing but not everything, I am concerned for you. Is your life defined by trusting God and following the Lord Jesus Christ? Friends, salvation is not by works. We have sung that, prayed that, confessed that this morning. It is by faith, but faith is always working. Genuine faith is always stirring our heart and moving us to follow Jesus. So, men, I encourage you, if you're at the forefront of your family's pursuit of the Lord, then you're right in the middle of God's design. And by God's grace, your family might follow. Will our gravestone read, so-and-so walked with God? And so we stand with Moses by Enoch's gravestone. We read, he walked with God. But then we notice his life has no end date. Notice verse 24 again. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. Now, at this point, we look over to Moses, and we say, Moses, he has no expiration date. And Moses says, correct. And we say, did someone forget to engrave it on there? And Moses says, nope. And we say, everybody dies. And Moses says, not everyone. In this graveyard, we've passed name after name, and we've heard he died, and he died, and he died. So how in the world did Enoch somehow get around it? Well, church, Moses is teaching us a lesson. Our eyes are meant to catch his headstone. And he's teaching us not everyone will escape death in this way, but all whose life is defined by a walk with the Lord will find life even through death. His gravestone signals to us the tree of life is this way. Praise God. There is hope in the weight of our death. So, beloved, you are going to die. But if you live by faith in the promises of God, in the Son of God, death does not get the final say. Friend, if you're here, you've not trusted in Christ. What is your hope in the face of impending death? If it is not in God's promised Savior, Friend, you will die bearing your own sins before God, and it will lead to what the Bible calls the second death. Eternal punishment in hell. But if you turn to Jesus Christ in faith, there is forgiveness. There is eternal life. So I urge you, do not put this off. Repent and turn to Christ. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. And then Moses continues the tour of the cemetery of the sons of God. Verse 25. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Sounds familiar. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. And on this tour, we return to the refrain of death, but also the birth of sons. Now, the only thing we might notice on the gravestone of Methuselah is that he's ridiculously old. In fact, he's the oldest person recorded in the Bible, coming in at a whopping 969 years old. Talk about a strain on Social Security. But this guy has a son. And once again, his name sounds familiar. Lamech. The last time we saw a Lamech was, again, in the Serpent's Cemetery. His gravestone was marked by his two wives and his lust for vengeance and violence. He said his justice would be 77-fold on those who harm him. Well, the Lamech in this cemetery has a different engraving. Look at verse 28. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one will bring us relief or rest from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. This Lamech has a son, and he gives him a name with some meaning. Noah, which sounds like the Hebrew word for rest. Unlike his cousin with the same name, this Lamech does not take matters into his own hands. He exercises faith in God's promises. God would bring rest or relief from the curse through this promised seed. And in that plan, God would use his son named Noah. Friends, this is what characterizes the children of God compared to the children of the serpent. It's not works. It's not our wisdom. It's not what we wear. It's faith. Faith in God's promised Savior to come. I think Lamech's gravestone could just as well say Lamech walked with God. Because walking with God means living by faith. Let me ask us again, brothers and sisters, are we living by faith? Will our headstone say so-and-so walked with God? Ladies, are you living by faith in God's promises and his purposes? Is your attitude or disposition based on what your husband is or is not doing, or based upon your circumstances, or is it based upon faith in a sovereign, gracious, loving Heavenly Father? Walk with the Lord. And notice just one more thing about Lamech. Look how long he lived. 777 years. It is ironic that John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, two of America's founding fathers, died on the same day. It's even more ironic that they died on July 4th, 1826. Well, friends, God loves to work in ironic ways in redemption. I think at least in part to show us he's the one in charge of bringing all this to pass. It is ironic that Lamech's cousin with the same name wanted vengeance, he said, 77-fold. Bunch of sevens between these guys. And the Lord preserved this Lamech 777 years. God knows what he's doing. And then we come to Noah's gravestone, and Moses sets us up for the future of God's promises. Verse 32, after Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In the midst of the curse, in the midst of death, God has been faithful to his promise. And in this chapter, as we've walked this far into the cemetery of God's children, Moses now is setting us up for the next step in God's plan that God's going to do through Noah and the flood. But just imagine with me for a moment that you and I keep walking in this cemetery. And we walk by the grave of Moses himself. And it might read, faithful in all God's house, or a very meek man. And we keep walking in the cemetery of the sons of God, and we come to David, whose gravestone says, a man after God's own heart. And we're reminded all along the way of the sting of death, but the faithfulness of God to bring another son, and another son, and another son, until eventually we come to a tomb carved out in a cave with a giant stone beside the entrance. This is the grave of Jesus of Nazareth. He's not merely a son of God. He is the eternal Son of God. But he became man, born in this promised line. He, friends, walked with God and never once veered for a millisecond from righteousness. And unlike everyone else, unlike everyone in this line, Jesus did not deserve to die. And yet, to crush the serpent, to reverse the curse, to bring us true and lasting rest, and for my sins and for yours, he did, in fact, die. And he was laid in the burial plot secured in eternity past. But for this man, death did not have the final say. We tour this cemetery and we get to this tomb and the stone is rolled away and friends, the grave is empty. He is alive. In fact, by his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ holds the final say over death. Enoch was taken all the way back in Genesis 5 because his faith in the promise that God would bring one who would hold the keys of death and hell. His name is Jesus, friends. He is who we place our faith in. He is who we follow as we walk with God. So now let's go back to our own grave. What is engraved on our headstone? If it is anything other than faith, we will be left in the serpent's cemetery, facing the wrath of God. But what marks God's children is not merely their family line, but their faith in Christ. And if you have trusted in Jesus, you're adopted into God's family as his child. You become a fellow heir with Christ. You are indwelt with the Spirit who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So, beloved, are you walking with God today? Have you depended on Him this morning in prayer? Did you anticipate worshiping your Father in heaven? After a news week filled with tragedy, is your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and His promises? And in all of the moments where we fail and we stumble and we sin in our walk with God, do you remember your Father is gracious and forgiving, that you can run to Him even in your sin, and He forgives those whose faith is in His Son? And friends, if our gravestone reads, so-and-so walked with God through God's Son, by His Spirit, then that grave does not have the final say. Jesus does. Even in death, they are placed in the cemetery of the sons and daughters of God. And friends, it's a temporary grave. Because just as Jesus died and was raised from the dead, those in Christ will be raised from the dead. Do you believe that? Does that define your life? I pray it does. Brothers and sisters, in the Lord's Supper, this is our family meal where our hearts take hold of God's promises by faith as we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. That it was His death for our sins that has provided all of the blessings of salvation. So we look back in this supper at the greatest evil committed against the Son of God, and yet it was God's perfect plan to save sinners. We look back and we are reminded of what our sins deserve and of the freedom we have in Christ. But we also look around at each other. We take of one bread because Christ has made us one body. We have believers whom God has saved and gathered to walk with Him together in faith. And ultimately, in the Lord's Supper, we look forward to the day when that cemetery will be remodeled and it will serve as a wedding feast, and we will see our Savior's face and worship Him. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward as we prepare for the supper. In just a moment, I will pray, and then we will invite you to come and take both the cup and the bread and take it back to your seats, and then we will take both of those things together. Friends, if you are not a baptized believer in the Lord Jesus, we ask you just let the supper pass. The Lord's Supper does not save anyone. It's just a sign. But it is for those who have responded to the gospel and repentance and faith, who have identified with Christ's death and resurrection. Perhaps consider using this time just to pray to God to respond to the things you've heard from His word this morning. Let me pray, and then we will invite you to come. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, for sending Him to live a righteous life that we've failed to live, to die a death in our place for our sins, and to rise from the dead. Help us to put our faith, our hope in Him, and that let that define our life. As we consider the body and blood of our Savior, give us that faith. We ask this in Jesus' name.